Fists of Fail.
So I really cannot get used to this new... well, maybe not. It's not so new, but this recent trend that movies will come out to VOD at the same time they're still in theaters. And I thought I wasn't going to be able to talk about this because I missed a train. I was on a flight somewhere, and I was, there was no way I was going to be able to catch this in theaters. So I thought we were going to miss this train and not be able to catch the hype of Monkey Man. But lo and behold, it's already out on digital.
Yep. That was a very, very short window between theatrical release and going to rental and to buy. And we watched this last night with a friend, actually. So it was actually kind of interesting to get the thoughts and reactions from somebody who is not a very in-depth action fan, I would say. Like, he is the perfect male demographic for this, but he's not somebody who is going into action choreography, looking into, you know, second unit and all that kind of behind the scenes stuff we like. So it's always interesting when you get somebody's take who is a little farther removed than we are.
Yeah, you and I are deep down this rabbit hole. we're far removed. So yeah, of course we have our common threads when we talk about these kinds of films and what we like and don't like. So it was interesting to see that. I mean, he clearly had a blast with it, and I can see how this could be entertaining for, you know, more general audiences. However, the other statement and the other way I was going to open this episode up was by saying that, like, it used to be once upon a time I didn't watch trailers before movies. Before going to see the movie, I just thought, you know, there was a period of time where trailers just kind of ruined the experience. And then I feel like things kind of improved. I feel like trailers are better. And then I think recently, trailers have been starting to ruin my expectations of things again. Because the trailer for Monkey Man made me think it was going to be one thing. And it kind of isn't like that in this final execution. It is a little bit more on the generic has a bad connotation, but the more general action movie versus a nonstop John Wick-esque martial arts extravaganza that the trailer would make you think it is.
Well, the trailer needs to do that. The trailer needs to sell the movie, so they're going to put all the good stuff in.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate when trailers have to do that, put in everything. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, the trailer does put in a lot. But I wasn't misled by the trailer at all. This is pretty much exactly what I was expecting. Mm. But I guess I didn't realize that Dev Patel, director, star, writer, probably producer.
Oh, no, not
producer. And where, maybe slightly producer. But, mm-hmm. you know, he had to wear all the hats. He did everything. This is his passion project. And so, fuck, where was I going with this thread? Well, yeah, so the trailer kind of makes, you know, it kind of shows everything, but it, for me, it didn't really spoil anything.
Yeah, really? I don't know.
It didn't ruin any expectations. This is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
I hate that we keep kind of saying, like, everything needs to be the new John Wick, and I just hate that we have to keep saying that, but the trailer did kind of give me that vibe that is, like, it's going to be, let's abandon all the John Wick comparisons. The trailer made it seem like there'd be a lot more unedited action, and that's not necessarily, it's not wrong, it's not a lie, you know, there are moments, small snippets of uninterrupted action moments, but for the most part, it's not like that at all. So you get a little bit of half and half. So I think I came out of this whole experience kind of feeling like, how a friend of mine say it? It was very mid, as the young people call it.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my general sentiments, at least on that first viewing, were that, okay, It was entertaining to sit through and watch and get some people's reactions mm-hmm. on it. But overall, I thought, okay, this isn't doing it for me. But going back and watching his interviews, listening to Dev Patel speak very passionately about this project and finding out more information on it does put things in context a little better for me. So I do have a lot more appreciation for it because of me looking into that information. So I want to point out some things. This is a COVID film.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Very small COVID film. And this was also abandoned by Netflix and miraculously picked up by Jordan Peele. So this was never really supposed to be like a Hollywood film. And it's surprising that we got a like this American theatrical release for it when it was just to go straight to streaming. So I think that really messed with my expectations a little bit, because when I think of a movie that goes into theaters, I think of maybe a different standard, a different quality that should come with the Hollywood budget. And that's actually not the case at all. This was really just saved by Jordan Peele, who really saw this and thought of it as something special. So he wanted it to get out there, because otherwise, apparently, this would have just been shelved and never seen the light of day.
Yeah. I mean, there's reasons why this was abandoned by Netflix and Universal had to pick up the check. I mean, it could possibly be the same reasons why this resonated so well with Dev Patel. I mean, so, okay, before we go any further, let's talk about the story super quickly. It's actually really simple. The movie's incredibly simple. Dev Patel, his character, he's witnessed as a child to his mother's murder. I mean, it's doled out slowly throughout the movie. It's revealed really early on that, like, yes, something happened to his mom. But,
It's okay for us to reveal that.
I mean, there's really not much to spoil in the movie. The movie's very cut and dry. Like, you are... Mm-hmm. You are following him as he's trying to get his revenge on the general, or like the police chief, I guess, who was the culprit in question.
Yes.
That's it. But like the subject matter, I don't even know if the subject matter, it's the framing of everything around, like this criminal underworld, the corrupt, crooked cops, all that. It's too gritty. It can be a little bit gritty, considered that, a little bit gruesome, a little bit too visceral, and Indian audiences, they might not be accustomed to that. I think that was the reasoning for why Netflix didn't want to
take on this project. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, though, that's why I've read up on, and I think that's also to what I was trying to allude to before, like why Dev Patel wanted to create this project, was because it was some sort of meta commentary.
It definitely seems like it is. It is shining a light on something I think maybe the general public might know about, but maybe not. The caste system in India, how the lower tiers are just fucking the bottom of the barrel and the rich are just high in their heaven. Heavenly towers. It happens all over the world, but I think some people don't know the extent of how it's happening in other countries. Mm-hmm. And for a filmmaker to show this, I could understand how that would make people nervous, because then you might be alienating part of your audience who are paying to see these things. So.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe some of this is lost on me, because I'm aware of, to some extent, I've learned about India's caste system and how culturally and societally it's structured based on that, and it's just commonplace there. But Dev Patel, with a Western background, wanting to create commentary on it, it might go beyond what I'm capable of comprehending, because I clearly am not Indian, so I only know so much. Yeah. Look at me. I was coming out of the film, I thought I feel like I can only critique it on a surface level. I feel like there's some messaging that Dev Patel is probably trying to get at that, like, I just, someone like me will not fully understand, but I see what he's trying to go for here. So
I think the messaging is not so much that he's putting things in there for us not to understand. I think if anything, he's trying to infuse this very simple revenge tale with his culture and his influences, because there's stuff about Hanuman, the monkey god, and then there's, you know, it's showing us a world that we would never see. I mean, we would only read about, but he's trying to show us the very unfair, poor society that happens at this, that's at the lowest level of Indian culture, and how he's literally fighting his way to get to the top.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's kind of like God, what's his name? The Korean director, Parasite.
Bong Joon-ho?
Bong Joon-ho, yeah. It's like that, but an action movie form.
You know, sure.
That's the way I like it. Yeah. But no, like the reason why I brought that up is because, like, it's very admirable. You know, Dev Patel's, like, directing debut, you know, there's a lot to this, and, you know, like, what he's trying to accomplish is very ambitious. It's 2 hours long. We say this all the time. Here, I didn't feel like it was too bad. I did feel the length only, not because, like, I was, like, wishing it was shorter, but I felt the story was too simple for it to be 2 hours.
Yeah, surprisingly, it almost feels like this could have been a little more complicated because of that 2 hour runtime. With such a simple revenge story, we get it. Why are we spending so much time with certain aspects now, almost?
Yeah. I mean, like, when I really sit back and think about it, I'm like, what actually happened in that 2 hour time span? Because, I mean, just to cut to the chase, there is the Dev Patel's character, he hits his low point very, very early on in the film, and then a big portion of the middle of the movie is just him trying to claw his way out of being at the low point. And then at the end, it's just very backloaded with action. But it's not even that long. So I'm thinking in my head, like, what happened to all that time? I don't know how this was 2 hours long.
Right. So that moment you're talking about, there is, our hero reaches a low point in the movie, and he goes into his training montage then to fire himself up before torpedoing to the end. And that's where I think he gets a little more maybe surreal with his influences. He starts throwing in some very strange imagery, like he opens up his chest and whatnot. And that's where we get a lot more of the flashbacks. That's where we start really fleshing out exactly what happened to his mother. And that is him trying to instill that, you know, his justification for revenge, and then the relationship he had with his mother.
Yeah.
All that sounds fine on paper, you know, when you're reading a script or when you're thinking about a story, but in terms of entertainment, like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't add anything. We already got that his mother was killed.
Yeah.
To see it then really unfold visually, it's not like the villain did anything so outrageous where it was shocking for us to see it later.
Mm-hmm.
There's no twist or any real.
There's no, yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing special about it. She dies and we just understand, okay, well, now we know exactly how she died. Did that really add anything? And for me, it didn't really do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, there's no twists and turns. Like, once you realize, like, okay, we know the methodology and how she died and how he might have gotten his scars, but it's not a roller coaster. It's quite literally a very plain level field. Like, it's like a very level road as you're watching it. It's very linear from, like, point A to point B. Like, the movie starts and the movie ends. It's like, it's not, there's no roller coaster there. So,
I think I would have been a little more interested if we spent more time with him literally clawing his way to the top, because I like that stuff, because he's almost like, like a rodeo clown in fights. He's because he's paid to take the losses entertainment value, and that's his role. He basically does all these things to try to go up to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, because he's infiltrating this man who he believes killed his mother, and you see him gaming the system for his advantage. Like, I like that. I think that stuff was really clever, how he's like, all right, well, I'm going to invite this man to watch my fight. I'm going to tell him to bet at a certain time, so I'll take a loss, and then that'll improve my status. That'll get me a better job, so he can start climbing his way to the top. Yeah, I think for me personally, like, more of that would have been interesting, to see him like kind of attempt to go up and then fall and then attempt to go up again until finally he reaches this point where it's like, okay, that's the guy, and that's where all the action comes.
Yeah, it doesn't really focus on that so much, but I mean, since you're mentioning all that, yeah, there's that whole backdrop of him being in these rigged fights where he's intentionally losing, and he's wearing that Hanuman mask, the monkey man mask, and I thought as I was watching what little action there actually is in the movie, we'll talk about that in a second, but what little action there is, I thought, like, oh no, it's just gonna be Dev Patel not actually being there, it's just some person behind a mask. But no, Dev Patel, his character takes off the mask, and it's just clearly the actor / director doing most of it, albeit it's extreme close-ups and being very claustrophobic with the action, but still, it's him.
Yeah, but that's it. There's no denying that he's doing it. It's only when he's wearing the monkey mask where you might think, okay, well, maybe that's a stunt double.
Right. But
his face is hidden.
Exactly, but those aren't like the action scenes that you hone in on. Those are
for
small little stunts of him getting his ass kicked. It's like, that's probably like one of the stunt doubles under Brahim Shahab, who coordinated the fights. Brahim Shahab being from the villain in Undisputed 4, or in your favorite movie, Dragon Wolf.
No, that fight though was good with him in Dragon Wolf.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's the best fight in the movie.
We love that movie. I love that movie. Listen to that review on that.
Yeah, so I forget where I'm trying to go with this, but
the action.
Dev Patel's he's clearly doing it, although it's not. I do appreciate some things that maybe Patel is trying to make some commentary on, like subverting the concept of a one man killing machine, or like one man army. I thought about that, especially like if it's in the trailer too, like there's that moment where he's rushing at the glass, the window, and he's gonna shoulder check it and break through, but that doesn't happen. It's like a small, one of the only comedic moments in the entire film where happen.
This movie is bleak.
Yeah,
this
it's bleak, is, it's dry.
It's dark, it is dirty, it's grimy, exactly what I'm sure he's trying to make of it. But yes, that I think that's the only moment of levity where he's in this state where he's trying to just get out. It's like, all right, well, maybe I'll just jump out this window, and it does not work.
Yeah. And I think it was trying to make a commentary on that, or at least I thought it was, because he gets his ass kicked pretty badly in the very beginning of the movie. And I mean, he's been primed to be, planning planning this whole revenge scheme from the get-go. So you think he's going to be a badass. No, he gets his ass kicked. And then he goes to that low point. That training montage, I don't even think that's a montage. I have no idea what the hell happened during that time. It's like he punches a heavy bag like five times. And then he's on to the final fight. And I don't know what happens. There was nothing to really imply that he's gotten that much better, but towards the end he's making his way through and fighting folks, but he's not unstoppable. He's not an unstoppable killing machine, and I don't want him to be.
I think him getting his butt kicked but still persevering and just clawing his way out of these situations. I think it's in line with his character. He's not unstoppable. It feels like, I think this is more the choreography and the action design. It feels like he's a little too capable, and then conveniently somebody will stab him or somebody will knock him out. Like, this is just me nitpicking because we look at fights all the time. He's too, I want to say he looks too good of a fighter, even though they make him not invincible.
Sure. Yeah, it's convenient just enough to move the pace of the fights along. But I guess I kind of appreciate that he is kind of struggling his way through. But there is a moment where he is swarmed by a whole mob of enemies, and you think that it's just going to be him versus everyone, and it's like, oh no, they're going to pull this. But no, he gets his own army, and then it becomes a whole all-out brawl. So I was like, okay, that's a little bit more realistic. At least we have that. And I don't know if that was also a commentary, because, you know, maybe this is like taking very subtle jabs at, you know, these Bollywood conventions, you know, like a Bollywood action movie, like one man can literally, like, I don't know, fight off a tiger with his bare hands, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting because it's a movie about Indian culture, and any time I've seen an Indian action film, their style of action is almost, it leans into comedic because of just how they design it. I mean, that's for them. That works for them. They have badass moments in it, but because of their stylistic choices and how I interpret slow motion, it's become parody for me at this point. So to see how what they do with slow motion, sometimes it's almost like laughable. But here, there's nothing beautiful about the action and how they're framing it. Mm-hmm. I like that it's desperate and it's ugly and he bites. I didn't notice that the first time. He
many times
bites everybody. I was like, oh, that's great. That's a desperate move. You don't do that unless that's a last ditch effort. And he does it a lot. So he's really, really struggling in this film.
I like that. It's the element of like visceral. I mean, like, Bollywood movies are fun. Like, at the end of the day, they're there to entertain you and make you, to some extent, you know, escape reality. And this is like, this movie is kind of the polar opposite. It's taking it, like, making it harsh. Like, if it's a revenge story, it's not gonna be roses and colored glasses, you know. It's gonna be, but it also gets elevated by the look of the film, right? Like, this harsh neon, gritty cyberpunk colors with like blood and dirt everywhere, juxtaposed to, like, you know, people dancing and like you know, there's like rainbows in the background, you know, in a more like traditional Bollywood production. So I think at the end of the day, I commend the idea behind the movie. I don't know if I love the final execution of the movie. It's just, it is ultimately just an average action movie. Yeah.
I pretty much agree with that. I think if this came out strictly on Netflix, I probably might have had a different feel on it. Like, oh, a Netflix action movie, one where the director and star is actually doing all the action, and it's about, you know, specific culture. It's something different. Like, I think I probably would have been a little more, I probably could have taken it in a little more. Something about the fact that this got, you know, picked up by a Hollywood production, I think that just like really threw me off. Like, I have to like try to take that out of my mind, because this really is a small movie.
Yeah.
And it's funny. So when we first watched this, I was saying to you, like, oh man, like, this must be doing poorly because it's already on VOD. But actually, it's only got a $10 million budget, and it's already made 2.5 times its budget. So this is technically a success.
Yeah. I don't know why they're doing this, but I don't know. I'm an old man now. I just don't understand how or why we're now distributing to, you know, VOD when they're still technically in theaters. But hey, I mean, I guess we want to get more eyeballs on this. Or maybe people are wisening to this and realizing, like, maybe we don't need to watch this movie in theaters.
Well, I mean, this is a whole different topic and conversation, but nobody wants to watch movies in theaters anymore. So if they sense the slightest bit of audience turnout, really drastically dropping, go, okay, push that lever, put it onto VOD, now get, bring that plateau back up for eyeballs.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Ultimately, do you recommend the film?
Yeah. I think you should watch it. I think it's a good watch at home.
I didn't get to see this
in theater. We missed out because of your vacation, but oddly enough, it came out quickly after that, so we watched it. And I was like, when we were watching it, again, we watched it. You and I, we have a very critical opinion on action because we do the show, watch all that action, and we watch it with a friend, and he seemed to be really, really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Everything that I was thinking of when it came to the action where I thought, oh, I don't like this, he was like, oh, man, this is great. Oh, I can't believe they're doing this. And so, you can trust our opinion when it comes to action and stuff, but sometimes the general audience goer will be just fine with what they see in this movie. And it's serviceable because the action choreographer and the DP who shot the action, he matches the style of the movie. It all actually looks like it's shot by the same person.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you get action, it looks like it doesn't look like the director had any input in that. So even though I don't like how close everything was, it works all together in the film.
I don't have anything else to add to it. Like, it's everything you just said is kind of my ultimate sentiments to it, to this film. So yeah, I mean, maybe we'll just bring our friend on and be like, have him redo this review. It's like, it's awesome, and then that's the whole episode right there.
Sure, why not? Yeah, instead of a 20-minute conversation, it's just like 10-minute clip.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
10-second clip, yeah.
Man, this show would be so much easier if, like, every episode was only, like, 30 seconds long.
I mean, then we just tweet.
Yeah,
just send out a tweet, send out an Instagram post, like a thumbs up. Hey, it's good. It's not so good, Monkey Man. Yeah, it's bananas.